Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't nobody worrying when the shots fly high and the sirens start to ring. Ain't nobody worrying when the kids die young and the mothers are suffering. Ain't nobody praying when they kneel down low, all they're doing is tying the shoestring. Ain't nobody worrying no more, no more, no more, no more. The homeless have nowhere to turn when their stomachs start to burn, cause they ain't got food to eat. A lot of children gonna learn when they gotta take turns, cause they ain't got books to read. Then our babies turn to crime, started getting high, cause the job train's kinda slow.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. This is Yaina again. We're back here again. Boy, it seems like we were just back here last week. These days, it's flying. You know how we do it every week. If anybody can hear me, please push one. Let me know you're out there. Let me hear, not everybody, but somebody, push one. If you can hear me, can you hear me? Are you out there? Can you hear me? If you can, all right, thank you. I see you. All right, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. I see you. Yep, we at the first day of the week again. Boy, it just ain't taking no time for this stuff to be happening. It's happening pretty fast. Merciful me. I guess we just got to let it do what it do. You know, the Most High is doing his thing. He said the days was going to be shortened, and they seem like they're running into each other. They're going so fast. You know, I just remember I was at Friday a few weeks or a couple of days ago, and now we at Friday again. Wow. What a day it is. Well, I'm glad we have another opportunity to spend with each other. We don't know when it'll be our last. We all hoping that we'll make it to the wilderness or make it out of here when the time comes. You know, and that's our desire, you know, but the Most High, we plan and he laughs. So we don't know how much time we have, but, you know, I'm grateful for today. I'm glad I live one day at a time. I try not to plan for tomorrow. You know, I don't want to seem like I'm not preparing or whatever, but, you know, we can plan. But we always say if it's the Most High's will that we do this, we'll be here. So all praises to him on that note. I have learned that. It took me a while to learn that, but I've learned it. And I'm grateful to be conscious today, awake, you know, to what's going on and who we are as a people. I'm excited about what plans we have next, that we have plans that are different from any other people on the face of the earth. I'm glad about that. I'm glad to have been in this captivity, because you have to be in it to understand what it means to come out of it. You know, I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to help to build the nation of Yehuda with you all's assistance and you all's cooperation and everybody working together as a team. It has truly been a blessing. You know, we have so much to look forward to. And I know some people getting burnt out, they're getting bored. They're like, you know, it just seems like there's nothing to do. But when you're talking about building a nation, and you're talking about people building a nation, it's a lot to do, you know, and to stay in compliance with the nation that we yet live in. That takes some finagling, you know, because we were left different things on record, different stories on record to be able to see how they conducted themselves. You know, if we look at this Daniel was under the government of Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar was the leader of that. Joseph was under the government of Egypt, and the Pharaoh was the leader of that. But they held on to their integrity. They held on to their identity. They held on to their culture, you know, but they served under those nations. And they served faithfully to the point where the leaders of those nations honored the fact that they were in, that they were included in their presence. So, I mean, you know, that has something to say about, you know, us as a people. That's why we work so very hard over here to bring a professional mentality to this radio show, and to bring a level of maturity to the show as well, because there's so many negative venues out there that are professing to be Hebrew Israelites. You know, they're angry. And you know, that's the thing that makes me, I kind of get upset about that, because, you know, it's like they must not understand what this thing is truly all about, you know, because you can't have it both ways. You can't be angry at them and understand why you're here, because you have to be mad at yourself and your ancestors. You can't be mad at them because they're doing what the Most High has purpose for them to do. Now, whatever he does to them as an outcome of how far they went, that's between him, them, and him, because he's going to do that. But we're sitting over here because of our own disobedience. And I think that once you go up to that level of maturity, you understand that the blame game is over. It's no need to blame anyone, you know, and they get angry. Everybody, they're angry. Well, they went too far. Guess what? We did too. We went too far too. We went way too far to the point where we slapped him in the face. So, you know, we can't get mad at the outcome of the punishment because the punishment came and we didn't like the way we were being punished. I know that's difficult. That's a hard pill to swallow a lot of times, but we brought this on ourselves, you know. And, yes, we are public enemy number one. Now we know why. We know why we public enemy number one, because we are the chosen of the Most High Yah. You know, but at the same time, we also know that if we hadn't did wrong, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be sitting here. You know, and he gave us chance after chance, our ancestors chance after chance, and they just didn't believe it. I don't know how they could have done it, but they did do it. And here we sit, you know. So, you know, that's how I feel. You know, I want to talk about Thanksgiving today, because I want everybody to get off their chest how they feel. I mean, I know that there's a lot of issues as it pertains to this particular holiday. You know, and this is a holiday that they celebrate the taking of a nation. You know, and, you know, a lot of our Hebrew Israelite brothers and sisters disagree with this holiday because it is the celebration of a taking of a nation. you know, and a killing of a people. It is. That's what it is. That's what it does. You know, but I always say, and it sounds cruel, and I don't mean to sound cruel, but to the victor goes the spoil. Because if you believe in H.R. 1242, and if you believe that it means what it says it means, then we had to be here. We had to be here. We had to step off that boat on August the 20th of 1619. We had to come over here as indentured servants, and we had to serve under the Gentiles. So in order for that to happen, the land had to be taken. You know, and my sentiments to the Thanksgiving dinner is this. Like I said before, I thank you because we had to do this. We had to fulfill this prophecy. Now, my reasoning behind it and their reasoning behind it is two totally different things. And a lot of people say, well, what about the Indians? What about all the people they murdered? What about all the people we murdered? At the behest of the Most High. We murdered men, women, and children in the battles and the wars that Israel went through. We did. We killed everybody, cattle, everything. We were given a mandate to kill them all, cattle, men, women, and children, because of whatever reason, DNA in that, the giant DNA or whatever it was, we still did the same thing because we were told to do it. And the same thing applies to them. They had to do what they were told to do. And some people would say, well, the Most High ain't going to tell them to kill off everything. He told Nebuchadnezzar. He sent Nebuchadnezzar against us. He burnt the temple down to the ground. It wasn't nothing left but a foundation. You know? He took all the gold and the silver and took it into Babylon. And the people was left there. The ones who didn't make it out, they starved to death. You know, so I don't want anybody, you know, I just want to put that out there because I know that there's a lot of teaching out there about this particular holiday, you know, and I just believe that we celebrated for a different reason because we had to finish this thing. We had to complete this so we can move to the next phase. And if we go through the history and we look at the wars that Israel fought and the cities that we took down, look at Jericho. We took down all of it. You know, everybody preaches about the wall falling down after we marched around it, but at the same time, they don't talk about the people that we murdered in Jericho so that we could get to the promised land and do what we needed to do. You know, so I'm not condoning anything that happened to us. You know I'm not. I'm not that person. I'm just saying that the Most High works in mysterious ways, and he works with the other nations just like he does with Israel to complete his agenda. And he will use the other nations to make sure that we're punished. And he did that. He did it all through the whole scriptures, all the way through. King Zedekiah was the last king that we ever had. Our kingdom was over with when Nebuchadnezzar came through. There's never been another one since then. There's never been anybody sitting on the throne. That was it. So, I mean, you know, when we understand the dynamics of it all and we understand the dynamics of war, we have to be able to accept the fact that it played out the way he said it. It was supposed to play out. America had to be taken over. They had to come over here and take it over, and they had to establish another level of the Gentile dynasty. It had to be done. Had to be done. You know, and that doesn't mean that we don't commend our black brothers and sisters who have fought their way through the ranks to be heard, you know, whether it's been through media, television, politics, religion. We commend them for the achievements that they have made. However, we have to also understand that captivity is captivity. And yes, in captivity, we have ranked to some high places. You know, Daniel was the right-hand man to three kings, not just one, three. He was. Joseph was the governor of Egypt. In a captive state. You know, so we have done these things because of who we are and because of what y'all's plan is. You know, and now that we're moving forward, we have to look at it from a grown-up perspective and say, yeah, you were supposed to do that. Because we had to do this. And they say, well, what about the Indians? Hey, you know, all praises to the Most High Yah. What about the other people that we took out? What about the Amalekites? He told them to kill everything, animals, everything. Don't leave nobody alive. And what did Saul do? He left King Agag alive and brought one of his cattle back with him when he came from the war. You know, so we have to be able to understand that Yah is not the Elohim that we have been introduced to, the form of Christianity that was given to us. We understand how he operates now. And I think that that's why this class is so important and this radio show is so important, is because you have to understand the whole dynamic of it all. You got to understand it all to be, in order to understand who he is. And then when you do that, you realize, like he said, I wrote the end from the beginning. You know, and as we know that, then we get to know him, and we approach this thing from a totally different perspective. We look at it from a totally different perspective. You know, it's not going to change the outcome because he's going to deal with every nation. He said no nation is going to get by. I'm going to deal with every nation. Everybody's going to be dealt with according to their action. You know, but right now today, we're still here. We're in this captivity. You know, so I just, you know, I just want to know, you know, how do you feel about, you know, now that the curse is over and we're in this captivity now, where nothing, you know, I won't say nothing is happening, but we're waiting on the next instructions as to when to move, you know, because a lot of people have contacted me and say, you know, we got our hopes up high and we built this hype up for 2019 prayer and everybody was hyped and we had this expectation. And then now that the prayer is over, it's like, rah, rah. And see, I see it a little bit different. You know, this is the preparation time because every time he's getting ready for us to do something, we go through this preparation period where it's quiet. And he gets you ready for something. Now, what that something is yet to be seen. But it's like, if I always looked at it like Mission Impossible. I don't know if you guys is old enough for that, but, you know, back when I was small, you know, Mission Impossible came on, and Mr. Phelps would come home, and the tape recorder would be sitting there, and the voice on the end of the recorder would say, good evening, Mr. Phelps, your next assignment is. And that's what we're waiting on. We're in that period where we're regrouping, getting ready to receive the next assignment so that we can do what it is that he has, what our part is. Because this is too big for one group to do, one man, one woman. We worldwide. In every country, we've been scattered. So we have to be able to deal with that. You know, we have a lot of things to contend with. We have to deal with, you know, the people that are coming from all walks of life in all areas. You know, so we have to get ready for all of that. And, you know, it's like, wow, you know, here we go again. So I just want to know, you know, all of you all that are sitting out there, how do you feel? Right now, you know, do you feel like it was that you were, like, it wasn't what you thought it was going to be? Or you feel like we're right on schedule? Do you feel bored? Do you feel like we need to create projects? Or, I mean, you know, how do we feel about where we are right now in this thing? You know, we have to keep a survey, you know, everybody, because people, you know, people look for the miraculous, and we had a miraculous moment at that place. We did. A lot of people saying, well, I'm struggling financially. We all are. Don't let me go. I mean, there might be some people on this show that's got, you know, some nice jobs and some. That ain't us. That ain't me. So I'm just saying, you know, as we move forward, guess what? I don't complain. You know, because I've been rich and poor. I'm like Paul. I've been abased and I've been abound. I know where to be content in whatever state I'm in, because I know at any moment he can change it. He can change it for the better or for the worse. And all of it is to prove your character. That's what it's about. So let me open up the mic. Area code 757. Your mic is open. You're on the air. What would you like to say?
Well, I want to say that I think that the day of repentance, I think it was needed. I just wish that personally for myself that I was able to do it, or at least coordinated with some people that we could have got together that couldn't have went maybe in my area or nearby, that we could have, you know, joined together. You know, it wouldn't be such a isolating event. But I think it was well needed. I just wish that, you know, more people would have taken advantage of it, because when it comes to repentance, I think that's always a good thing to do, in humbling yourself before the Most High God. I hope that we are closer, I mean, to getting out of here. Certainly, I think that we we're on the crest of it. I mean, we know something. There's a next step that's going to happen. So I really think that the hardest thing for maybe a lot of us is just, you know, just waiting, anticipating, because I don't care what area you live in. It's the things that are going on that's common to us, you know, in the country, around the world, you know, we're tired of it. We, you know, for those of us who are really serious about it, we really want to go to the next level. We want to get out of here. We see things that, you know, are deteriorating every day, things that just don't make sense. But yet we just have to, you know, our time is not the Most High's time. And you know, that's the hardest part, but we just have to, you know, wait this thing out, because things are happening. Prophecy, like you said, prophecy is being fulfilled every day. And we really are close to, you know, I think in my mind, when I think about it, the rebuilding of the temple, I think that's a very significant marker to let us know we need to be prepared. And I think that I'm preparing myself to be detached from this stuff, because what else do you look forward to? It's the same old soup warm over. I mean, you get a house, you get a job, you get this, you get that. It's the same. No, I think that we should try to prepare as much as possible for the next level. And that's where I'm at in this. Cause I think it was worthwhile. I mean, I've heard some things, on YouTube. I was kind of saddened by how, you know, people made certain comments about, you know, the day of repentance and Lord, you know, this and that. But I don't think so. I think that we really needed that. I think it was very worthwhile. And I'm just sorry that a lot of our so-called conscious brothers and sisters didn't join.
That's
how I feel.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And I unfortunately, you know, they had their comments, and, you know, we did what we did, and, you know, you have to let people be where they are. You know, it's unfortunate, but, hey, they have the right to feel the way they feel. Everybody has the right to feel the way they feel. I feel like that anyway, you know, because the way you feel is going to determine your action. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not the way it's supposed to be, because our actions are not based off of feelings and emotions. You know, our actions are based off of being obedient. So, you know, Israel has always been that way. You know, us coming together as one unit and doing one thing, I don't ever see that happening. I see the Most High gathering us and bringing us into where he said he was going to bring us. But at the same time, we have to be able to understand that these are the same people that you read about in the Bible. Always remember that. These are the same people that you read about in the Bible. These are the same women that was on the temple crying over Tammuz. These are the same men that was in the temple bowing down to the sun god. These are Israelites now we're talking about. These are the same people that set up groves and set up idols and set up statues in the land of Israel. These are the descendants of those people. And we have to understand that DNA is a hard thing to crack, because it's going to follow you down through the generation. So these people are the ones who you can tell by the sentiments or the things that flow out of their mouth, because the Bible clearly says that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you have to be understand that this is what's in their heart, you know, and I look at it like this, and that is who you are, and that is what you are supposed to do, because everybody has a part to play, whether it's for the good, whether it's for the evil, even whether it's for the neutral. There are people that are out there that have a part that they have to play, and they're playing it, and you can tell what it is by the way that they conduct their business with the Most High. So I quit trying to get the whole kumbaya moment. Oh, life should be a lot of ways, but it's not. You know, in our minds, we think about it should be this way, but it's never been that way. We've never been those people that have come together warm and fuzzy. All through that Bible, we've never been on one accord, because if we was, we wouldn't be sitting here. There's always been those groups that have been segregated, and each group did what they wanted to do. So we've never been those people. And for us to become conscious and expect that once you realize what this is about, you realize that's not going to never happen. You know, we still got brothers walking around with the Star of Rephaim on their clothes. Some of it's the Star of David. No such thing. But do we knock them? No. You got to do what you got to do. You got to do what you feel like that you got to do. So, I mean, you know, I agree with you a whole lot. But once you, like I said, it's a matter of maturity. And once you get to a certain level, and we grow up by reading that word and getting to understand Yah and the people. Once you get to a certain point, you be like, well, let's go. You know, it's going to get there. Because you're like, well, let's go. I'm not dragging nobody else. Let's go. If you're coming, let's go. And that's how it's going to be. And unfortunately for a lot of people, it's going to get dramatically worse before repentance is the first thing that's on their mind. Now, so I'm just saying. Area code 478, your mic is open. You're on the air. Since I'm going to leave your mic open.
Shalom. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Shalom.
You know, I agree with everything that's been said. Cause you know, a lot of us, we still got things to work on ourselves. You know, everybody's so ready to go. But what are you trying to present the Most High? We all got things to work on. Just be glad that we still alive. I give Him thanks.
Hey, hello.
That we still alive in this place. You know, and we get to see things that we have never seen before. We never seen these folks trying to build a temple. They trying to do. If you're careful and you look at everything, you see it all unfolding. The way I take it is this: I got another day to reach my parents, my siblings, my friends, my in-laws. I got another day to reach them. You know, when the time comes to go, I'm gone. I'm not even gonna waste time. I'm gonna leave the house just like it is, the car where it is. And go. That's just how it is. But while I'm here in this captivity, I'm reaching people. I'm talking to people. I got another day to say, hey, maybe you can see this too. Maybe you need to learn how to keep these laws, statutes, and commandments too. You know, and that's where the love comes in. Because you love your people, you don't want to see none of them perish. Even though we know that there are going to be people that perish, but we don't want to see that. So if you really love your people, you're going to go out and try to reach the people every day, every time you get a chance. You know, and I'm going to say this, you know, I'm just beyond that point now. I got a job in which I can't and I shouldn't be out saying the things I say, but I've reached and talked to 75% of my people in my world. And everybody know who I am. Everybody know what I stand for. And you know what? I shouldn't be doing that, but the Most High watches over me. He watches over me, and I know that for a fact, that them folks ain't saying, man, you got to go. You got to go. And that has never happened to me. And that's all due to Him, and I give Him all the praise for that. You know, and for these people that say, ain't nothing happening, they might want to sit down one day and just watch what's going on in current events and in this world. Then they'll see what's really happening.
Absolutely. You know, and like you said, we have time to work on ourselves, get ourselves together, get prepared, you know, and just relax. Because sometimes after you do something as substantially important as what 2019 represented, you don't realize how significant it was until after it was over. I mean, we knew how powerful it was and how necessary it was, but to really understand the scope of it all and being there and understanding they took our pictures, they were photographing us, they were videotaping us, they were sitting there, there were people there from the three-letter agencies, it was people, we seen people that was carrying guns, we seen in their purses and on their purses, we seen all of that stuff. I mean, you know, that they were actually people that were there, hopefully, that were with agencies and things like that. I don't know what they was prepared for, but they didn't get what they thought they were going to get. And the fact is, I'm sure there were some angels there, too. making sure that things went according to the way it was supposed to go. And it was a beautiful event. It was very peaceful. It was very quiet. We cleaned up. We didn't leave a mess. We did everything we were supposed to do, and then we went and we fellowshipped. And even then, they was coming around us and sitting among us while we were fellowshipping, and we was eating and talking and getting to know each other. So, I mean, you know, when you look at those things, and then after it's over with, you can reflect back on it and be like, wow. You know, for the people who didn't go and it wasn't in their spirit to go, that's them. You know, hopefully, you know, the Most High will put it in their heart to do something and to come together and do something, but we already did it. So we have to move to the next level, and believe me, there are things going on right now in the background that we can't talk about right now, but once all of this stuff is over, we'll bring it to the forefront and let you all know, y'all is doing things. It's just some things that are not being revealed at this moment, but he's doing things with this group. You know, and that's why we got to stay focused. So, you know, and like I said, I have a lot of people that have come aboard. I want to say something to you all, Brother Uriah, Brother Jeremiah, Brother Yerushalam, and all of the other people, Sister, oh, my God, let me try to say her name, Yasetia. That's Sister Leona's Hebrew Israel name. It's Yasetia. I appreciate everybody coming aboard. We're going to try to finalize all this stuff so we can start making appointments with you all so we can start getting this thing rolling and start to better our web page and all the things that we need to do. Because believe me, the Most High has given us a chance to get all this stuff prepared, because once he opens up the door, it's the floodgate. I remember hearing T.D. Jakes say that years ago. He said, you know, when I left West Virginia, he said, I thought that moving to Texas was going to be like West Virginia. He said, and we all was getting together when we was moving. He said, and, you know, I had been on television and I had preached and I had did all the things that I was doing, but I had no idea of the magnitude of the people that were listening. He said, and when we opened up the door, I'll never forget this, and I know the Most High had me listen to that for a reason. He said, when we opened up the door the first Sunday to have service, thousands of people walked through the door. He said, I wasn't expecting that. And I think that because we're sitting at a home and we're on the phone and we're just talking to each other, we don't understand the magnitude of the impact that this conversation is making all around the world, with black people, white people, Chinese people, Puerto Rican people, everybody, even the YouTube classes, the impact that it's making around the world. And when the Most High gets ready to introduce us fully to everybody, it's going to be thousands upon thousands of people. So now we have to take the time to get prepared so that we're not fumbling around figuring out what to do. Because he said, I wasn't prepared. He said they all fell in there. And I had all these people trying to figure out what to do, because we always think of it from a personal perspective, but we don't realize that the whole world is watching. The whole world. Many people have given us, said things on this show like that. Not Yaina, it's a lot of powerful people listening to this radio show. A lot of powerful people. And you know, sometimes when I listen around to the different YouTube clips about Trump and the news people that will be talking, they're the same little things that we said over the radio. You know, and I don't pay no attention. I blow it out like, yeah, well, you know, I say that too. That's something we say. And you don't even think they're getting it from you. You just think it's something similar. So when you understand how serious this is and what we're doing here, even the Gentile has come on this radio and said, you know what, this is some good radio right here. This is some good radio. And, you know, you don't even think about it. You're like, we're just talking. So, I mean, you know, we have to take the moment. In other words, what I'm saying is when he give you a moment to take a break, take a break. Because when it blow up again, you may not be able to take another break.
No.
Enjoy the break. You know, because it's nonstop. If y'all know how many people call me with issues, I need prayer. My son is doing this. I'm about to have this happen to me. I need this. Something is going on with my family. Could you please pray? And it's just emails that they send. And every morning at 6 o'clock during the weekday, I get up and I say my prayer, and I add all those situations as I remember them into the prayer. And then sometimes I just tell the Most High, pray for Israel. Us as a people, please help us get through this situation. Because you can't remember them all. And that's just a few folks. Imagine if we had 50,000 people.
Wow.
That's just a few people. We had 50,000 people, which is easy to get when you on the radio and when you're on the internet around the world to listen to. Imagine if it was that many people that was coming at us at the same time. We had to be organized to be able to deal with those people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Most High is doing. He's giving us an opportunity to get organized. For the people to come in and say, wow, at least it's structure. I try not to bad mouth any other groups because I look at it like, just do what you was told to do. Because I'm going to do what I was told to do. So do whatever the Most High told you to do and do it well. I may not agree with it, and it ain't for me to understand. If that's what y'all told you to do, do it. Let's do it to the best of our ability. Because if one group can't handle all this, it's the whole world. You know, because guess what? The Gentiles want to know, well, what's going on? Like we said yesterday, this is the first time in history. Let me say again, this is the first time in history, human history, that we have two groups of people professing to be the same thing. First time. That right there blows my mind. I'm like, okay, what you finna do? Because I know you gonna do something. This can't remain like this. This is gonna be a conflict of interest because there's still prophecies that have to be fulfilled on both parts. And I really do believe that that's why he's gonna move Israel out the way. Excuse me. I believe he's gonna move Israel out the way, except for those that are gonna do mighty exploits. And even with those that's gonna do mighty exploits, some of them gonna be killed. He's gonna move Israel out the way because guess what? Israel's part don't come in until after all this is over with, once we get to that point. So somebody got to switch it so that the rest of the people who are professing to be us can complete their prophetic journey.
Well, sis, what was the name of that clip you were talking about yesterday when you said that Adolf Hitler, he was talking about the U.S. and he was saying that the God's jewels are in the U.S. Did you ever mention the name of that clip?
You know what, Brother Yerushalayim sent it to me. He emailed it to me. I'll email it to you when this is over so that you can read it. Because it's just a piece of paper with Hitler's face on the top of it, and, you know, they downloaded it from a certain place. And it's not a new thing because my daughter, she sent me an email back. She was like, I've been told you about this a long time ago. I was trying to validate if it was true. I said, and you probably won't be able to validate it. Because they probably removed it. Because when you take on and assume other people's identity, you try to do everything in your power to erase any signs of them ever finding out who they are.
And I remember something where Hitler was saying that something to the effect like a bastard does reside in Ashdod. He was, he was talking to the fake Jews over there. But it does come together because the powers that be, they tend to demonize. You know, they tend to demonize you as a way to get rid of you. You know what I mean? So if he making that statement, that does make sense because they do that. I mean, Gaddafi had made a statement that was very powerful, and what happened to him? So they do use that as a technique to get rid of you with the truth, if you come out with the truth. But they can't get rid of
everybody. I ran, too. Iran, too. They said Iran and the UN was like, we'll never accept them. They ain't the people. I mean, y'all ain't the people. And they would throw a little dig at them, and they would get belligerently upset, you know. And it's like, and you know what it is? It's I look at it like this. It's a shift of the older brothers taking their unrightful place in up in the front, because you got to look at it. You got to look at Ishmael. Ishmael was first, but the promise was given to Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you got Esau. Esau was first. And Jacob was coming out holding on to his heel, even though they was twins. So now they have reversed everything for those two older brothers to take the rank and to actually be out front and doing what they're doing. And trying to assume an identity that the Most High never sanctioned for them to have, but it's written in the play that they have to play their part, and they're doing that. They're doing that. And they have to do it. It's nothing you can do to change it, because they have to play their part. They do. You know, they say Ishmael is the Arabs. I don't know, you know, Arabs, and their religion is the Muslim religion, and you know what I'm saying? And the Israelis, they deal with the Talmud, and, you know, and they have a totally different belief in the Bible, and, you know, and it's just a lot of differences, but everybody has to play their part, period. So I don't get mad, and I just looking like, well, just tell us what we need to do and where we need to go. You know? And Christianity is the backing for the Jewish people.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't get upset. It is what it is. You can't change that. That's how y'all got that set up. So, yeah, it's a possibility that he said it. It's possible. You know, but to really be able to prove it, that's one different thing. But a minute of that, he has said certain things out of his mouth and putting a dig in at those people. He said certain things out of his mouth, you know? So they know who we are. They know who we are. But everybody has shifted the identities around so that they can assume the leadership and be able to run the world. And that's what it's all about. It's unfortunate, but, you know, that's y'all. You know, I'm just glad that there's an out for us. I'm glad that slavery didn't just end here, and I'm glad that he wrote an exit strategy for us. He did. And like he said, like Brother Yerushalayim said, that's one more day for you to do something to try to help your family understand. If nothing else, you know, I'm leaving. I want to spend a little time with you before I leave, because I'm never going to see you again. I'm never going to see you again. And for the ones that's coming with you, you let them know the worst thing you can do is come and complain. You're going to have to keep your mouth shut, because it's going to be a different way of life. But it's going to be better than what you left. And you may not see it right away at first, but when you start hearing details of things that are happening here, you're going to realize that, you know, this was for your own protection. So while you're leaving with us and life is changing, you got to learn how to be quiet, because the first thing that the children of Israel did was complain.
Mm-hmm.
In the wilderness, they didn't even get to Mount Sinai before they start complaining. You know, ain't going to be no weave, ain't going to be no eyelashes, ain't going to be none of that stuff. You're going to have to wear your natural hair and take all them stuck-on fingernails and glued on eyelashes and glued in hair and wig lace, front lace, or whatever they be wearing. You gotta take all this stuff off. You know? That's just real. You know, so that, you know, those are the things that we have to get prepared for, to let our people know that's coming with us. Ain't we no football games on Sunday? That's over with. I don't even know if we're going to be allowed to bring phones. And if we are going to be allowed to bring phones, how we going to pay the bill? And where are you going to get the reception from? You know. But it's supposed to be a place of safety for us. And at least we're going to be safe. So you gotta figure out which one is best. You're going to stay here and endure what's coming, to be able to enjoy the entertainment that is provided, or you're going to leave and cut ties with all of this stuff and be in a safe environment where the Most High has you protected. You know, because we're going to have to develop our own entertainment. We're going to have to do, you know, he's probably going to have a lot of stuff prepared for us already. You know, but you just got to make, you know, that's a lot to get ready for. You have to prepare yourself for that. You know. So, I mean, you know, it's a big change, but I'm ready to make the change because I know what this is. Mm-hmm. There ain't going to be no Netflix. There ain't going to be no HBO. There ain't going to be no Showtime. No more internet. No more TV. No more laptops. No more computers. Can I say again? I'm sorry.
I was just saying, no more air conditioning. No more none of that.
No. You know, you're going to lay down on the ground. And, you know, he may have something else prepared for us. I don't know. You know, but it's those are the things that you got to know. And you got to trust him. You know, and don't complain. But it's going to be something with us because them same folks going to be with us too. It's hot. I know we're going to have to do all this. I should have stayed back in Chicago. Dang, I mean, look, we ain't got no food, no water. Okay, you know how black people get when they're not comfortable.
You ain't joking.
I don't want nobody to be like, Yaina, you said no. You came on your own. No.
I think that's the biggest thing going to get in the people.
What's that?
I say that's the biggest thing going to get our people is the comfortability, being comfortable because, you know, we like to be comfortable. We like to have that Burger King down the street because I don't want to cook today. We like to have that doggone, you know, easy meal. I can go inside the grocery store and buy whatever I want to buy instead of, you know, taking our own hands and creating what we need. We got a lot of people like that. You know, they don't want to deal with that. Oh, sleeping out there in a tent on the ground. I can tell you right now, I would much rather be out there sleeping in a tent, dry as a bone, getting a little water and having to produce my own food than live in this nation.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way. I feel the same way. I've never done it, but guess what? I'm willing to do it for y'all. I'm willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to drink some real water and have some food that's not contaminated.
Uh-huh.
I'm serious. I want to be able to taste some animal that ain't being shot up with steroids and antibiotics and all that kind of stuff. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of my body trying to fight off stuff that ain't supposed to be in there in the first place. You know, when we drink spring water, I want it to be real spring water. I don't know what that tastes like. Not people contaminating and mad scientists in a laboratory trying to figure out how to produce food that don't grow out the ground. I don't want to eat that stuff. You know? And everybody, you know, that's you know, to be able to, like you said, be able to lay on the ground and look up at the stars, if that's his plan for us, and to be able to say, I'm glad I'm here, and know he's there with us.
Mm-hmm.
No, we going with silver and gold and animals and cattle and stuff, so we're going to have the things that we need, you know, and we're not bringing no animals and cattle with us either. You know,
nope.
But now we may come out of here with silver and gold, so there's still other nations around us. We may be able to barter with them and do certain things, and they know not to mess with us, hands off. We don't know what situation he's living in is going to take us into, but we know it's better than this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, you know, it's interesting. It's very different to get prepared for this. So I just thank him that we are mature enough to be able to handle this, and when he give you a moment to rest, take advantage of it. Because I'm telling you, when it starts up again, it may not be like it was in 2019 for the prayer. It may be way bigger than that. We don't know. No, one entity. Well, all you got to do is open one door in one entity and watch the floodgates start opening up.
You ain't joking. So they will.
They will. People from all over the class that we do on Saturday can hold 1,000 people. That can fill up in a matter of minutes. From all over the world. You know, so I thank him for the moment because we got a lot of work to do. We got to roll up our sleeves, especially the School of Knowledge, and we got to really sit down and put some plans together for newcomers, intermediate, and advanced so that they'll be able to do that, you know, and to be able to go there where we don't have to reteach the thing again, you know, because somebody asked me the other day, she said, what you going to do about the Messianics who don't really believe in the Old Testament? I said, that's simple. We just going to start all over again with the Old Testament. They don't believe in the New Testament. I'm not going to take them there if they don't believe in it. We're going to start all over again because every time we read it and we start all over again, we get more from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to push the issue, you know, because our advanced class, we're almost finished. We done went through the whole Bible, the Apocrypha, and the New Testament. We're almost done. You know, and but that's what we keep on going over and over again because it's so rich. It's so much you get from it that when you read it the first time, you'll be like, wow, I didn't even see that. You know? Eric Code 972, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Thank you. I want to add my opinion to what's being discussed. I so enjoy the day of repentance, and I really appreciated there not being a huge number of people. It was really intimate, and you know, as you said once before, I think the people who were supposed to be there were there. For me, it was because I really said I want to go. I didn't want to have regrets about not going. And I have been so happy every time I think of it. I periodically pull up the video and watch it. It's encouraging because I think we did what we were supposed to do at the time that we were supposed to do it. And you've said before, you know, if it's only 12 people, you know, if it's 12 rocks, the thing is to be obedient. And all of the people who are going to be going, we're all on a path. You know, we get there in different ways. For me, I come through many different iterations. I wasn't in the church, and I came through the church. I was raised in the church. I left it. Then I went back to it, and then I went into paganism, and then I came back, and then I realized I was an Israelite. When I found out I was an Israelite, it answered so many questions, things that I remembered from my childhood and didn't understand, because the Most High is faithful. And so he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And I really, when I think about people, I'm thinking people will be coming because things are not going to remain as they are. If we look at the Bible says that, you know, it's going to be a day like none other. People are going to be running. And when Israel leaves, it says, you know, the woman she's going to flee. And so the place of safety is just that. It wouldn't be a place of safety if everywhere else was safe. And so this is really a blessing. It's a blessing to know. It's a blessing to be able to prepare. It's a blessing to learn how to be obedient. It's a blessing to learn how to wait. You know, and one of the things is also it allows me to go back and think, when I purposed in my mind that I was going to come out of the mess that I was in, what did I say? I said, I'm willing to put it all down. I left a relationship. I left it. I mean, seriously, I really had to make that decision. And so when things get tough, I go back to who has sustained me through all of the losses that I've experienced, all of the different things, and I still have joy. I still have peace. I still have expectation. And I do say, please win. But I say, regardless, I am going to stay with you. I'm not going anywhere else. I mean, I'm going to the best of my ability, choose you each and every time. And so to me, this is just learning how to really follow and wait and go back and reaffirm my commitment that I made initially when I said, I'm going to follow you regardless.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question. And it builds maturity because that's the biggest thing. And, you know, when I watch, you know, on YouTube, they have the King David pool movie, and it's just about 2 hours and 53 minutes long. And it starts off with, you know, David and everybody, it starts really off with Saul. And when I watch how Saul was chosen by Yah, he's from the tribe of Benjamin, to be the king over everybody, and how Saul was so self-determined to do what he wanted to do that I understood, even from watching that, that Yah is about obedience. He wants you to be obedient, you know, and it doesn't matter, you know, all the qualities that you have. Saul did what he wanted to do, you know, and he was given instructions, and he couldn't follow instructions. So how can you have an army and nobody follows instructions, especially when you have the Elohim that has written the story already from the end, from the beginning? He knows how it's going to play out, and then he chooses you to lead and do his bidding, and then you do what you want to do. You know, and I just looked at it, I said, wow, you know, how, and then not once, but twice. He was given a second chance to do it right, and he did what he wanted to do because he did not kill King Achan. He didn't. So, I mean, you know, we have to, and I agree with you that this period is to get us ready to follow instructions. Not what we want, not what we think is best, not our logic of thinking, but what is it that you want us to do? To the letter. And watch him promote and bless because you follow his instructions. Saul said, oh, it's all right, don't worry about it, it's for the best. Samuel looked at him like, excuse me? He said, "What? You were told to kill everybody. How are you still alive?" He said, "Trust me, it's for the best." And he just had that puzzled look on his face like, what you mean it's for the best? You was told to do one thing and you can't even follow simple instructions. So, when you know, and I think that that's where we have to get ready for, to be able to follow instructions. The Most High say move, move. If he say stand still, stand still. And he say wait, wait. And once we learn how to do that, then he can use you, because he can't use you as long as you're in the way. Well, we did it like this in the military, and we think this is that. No, it's the way he tells us to do it. Area code 904, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom, everyone. Sister Yaine, I just have to jump on the point you just made about King Saul. My family and I, we are even reading, right now we're in 1 Kings, and we came across Ahab again, and it hit me this time. Ahab also was told to kill a king and all the people, and instead of killing the person he was supposed to kill, I can't recall his name now, it just passed me. Benayad, or whatever, but they had some relation. And he was told to kill him and everybody, and he did kill a lot of the people, but left this Benadad person alive. And he said, and then the Most High basically said, okay, King Ahab, now you're going to die for being disobedient. And it hit me in that moment. Sometimes, and I see this pattern forming with the leaders of Israel, and that's because those are the examples in the scriptures where they're extending a grace that's not theirs to extend. It would seem like the right thing to do to say, oh, well, let me spare this person because, you know, he said he's sorry now. At first he wanted my wife and my children, and I said I'd give it to him. Then he said he wanted to come do everything to me, but now he told me he's sorry, so I'm going to extend this grace. It wasn't yours to extend. The Most High told you to kill him. And
that's
you
right.
Didn't do it. And I think we got to be very careful of that. We're trying to extend a grace that's not ours to give.
Yep, exactly, exactly. He wants obedience. And it's just like you tell your children. If you tell your children, look, I want you to stay in the house and lock the door and don't answer the door for anybody. I don't care who knocks on it or the doorbell rings. Don't even go to the window to see who it is. Because if you go to the window, they can see you're in the house in here by yourself. And then somebody comes and knocks on the door and calls the children's name, and the children go to the window, and the person, the intruder, sees that they're by themselves, and the intruder busts into the house and steals the stuff out of the house and assaults the children. Well, when you come home from work, you're going to be like, well, what did I tell you to do? Don't go to the window and don't answer the door. Well, he called our name and we knew who it was. It doesn't matter. I don't want you to go to the door or look out the window. And it's just a matter of following instructions. And for me, that's what I've learned. If I haven't learned anything else, it's to follow his instructions. And if you can learn how to do that, and like you said, don't extend any grace that's not yours to extend. Don't make up a reason that makes sense to you. Just do what you're told. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. But we have never been a people that have done that. We have always done what we wanted to do because it made sense to us. And that's exactly what it's been doing. That's what we have been doing as a people because it made sense to us. And it's like, just follow instructions. That's all you got to do. Simple. You know, it's just simple. You know, and when we learn how to do that, then he can use you. Because you don't, and it's just like your job. If your boss tells you, okay, I need you to do this, and you know, my bosses, I think they kind of get angry with me, and this is just my own observation, because I offer them what I'm paid for. I've been a boss. I've owned a company. I've had employees. I've done all that. But guess what? When I get a job and you hire me as an employee, my job is to follow instructions and follow procedures to do the job that you have paid me to do. Well, we need you to come in and ask some insight. No, it's not my job to give you insight on how to run your company. I'm following procedure, and I'm doing what I was trained to do, and I do that job to the letter because this is how you showed me to do it, and I do it to the best of my ability, and in return, I am rewarded with a paycheck, and that's how I look at it, you know, because that's what it means to me. You know, and sometimes it's a good thing for you to ask some time, and sometimes it isn't. But I don't offer anything because that's not what I was paid to do. I'm doing what I was paid to do. And that's what the Most High wants you to do. Do what you're told. And if you can do that, if I know you can follow my instructions to the letter, the sky is the limit. I can use you to go to the highest. You know, but a lot of people don't do it. They just don't. They do what they want to do. And that's where they make their mistakes. That's where the problem comes in. And that's how Saul was. Saul was arrogant. He says, oh, don't worry, Samuel, it's for the best. And Samuel looked at him like, excuse me? What do you mean it's for the best? You was told to do something. Well, King Agag is more worth more to me alive than dead. You know, you want to say, no, you're going to be dead in a minute. You're only living because he gave you the option to live. But because we get beside ourselves and think it's us. See, that's the thing. When the Most High promotes you, you get to thinking it's you. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar did. Nebuchadnezzar made the mistake and started believing that he was the responsible for all of the wealth and all the things that he had. He thought it was him. And when he got beside himself, the Most High put he told the director to cut. Director said, cut. Everybody was froze in a state. They was in a state of animation. So they were just standing there. And the angel came down and talked to him specifically and said, you lost it. You really think you're running it. And because you have taken on this mentality, you're going to be punished because this is not your role. You missed your part. You weren't supposed to do all this. This wasn't you. We made it possible for you to be in this position. We made it possible for you to rule Babylon. We chose you to do this. And now as a result of that, you have to be punished. Gave him a whole year to repent, but the angels knew he wasn't going to repent, you know? So guess what they did? They said, okay, let's resume. And everybody came out of animated suspension and started doing their part. And then within a year's time, he was out in the field eating grass like an animal. Because he had to be humble. Play your part. And then somebody asked me, well, why did the Most High let him go back to being king? Because he wasn't finished. You got to finish your part. No, same way with Trump. President Trump has a part to play. And I got family members that get so mad at me when I say this. I said, the man is doing what the Most High has called him to do. He has a part to play. And he's playing it to the hilt. All of them are. And when his part is over, he, the Most High, will move him out of the way, and whoever's next to take that position will take that position. So you got to play your part. But don't ever think it was you to graduate you into that level, because they ain't never had nothing to do with you. It hasn't. It's the Most High's doing. From every job we have, to every house we've lived in, to every car we've bought, he's been very instrumental in that. All that's been preordained, predestined, everything, from every person that we've ever met. It's for a reason. You know, we have to understand that this was written from the, he wrote the end from the beginning. Just like yesterday we were talking about the men he killed. Guess what? Like, and that just blew me away. Pharaoh threw the Hebrew babies into the Nile River, and the Most High killed the Egyptian men in the Red Sea. See, cut off. Killed the whole generation. Drowned them. You know, and if you just look like, whoa, that is serious business. That is a God that don't play. Because he don't forget. They cut off a whole generation with throwing them babies in the Nile River. I can't imagine black men having to just watch their sons being tossed into the river, just drowning. Babies just floating. I mean, a whole lot of babies just floating around, just drowned. And the Most High said, I got this. I'll be there. And then Moshe, the only one that saved out of that whole generation. One baby out of all them babies that was born. And he waited and waited 80 years later. And then guess what he did? Those men went into the sea after the children of Israel, and he closed the waters upon them. Sea cut off. Cut off. Crucial. So I just, you know, it's one of those situations where, like I said, I'm thankful for you all, and I'm thankful for this class and this radio show, because I believe that we are really truly getting to know who our Elohim is and how he operates. We really are. He is allowing us to get to know him. The compassionate side, the ruthless side, the loving side, the forgiving side, all of it. I think it was Moshe. Moshe was asking, he was telling, I'm going to let the children of Israel go into the land, but I ain't going with them. And Moshe said, if you ain't going, I ain't going. Oh, we not going unless you go. He said, oh, all right, I'll go. That's Yah. Wow. He said, oh, all right, I'll go. You know, so we dealing with a very distinct being that has a lot of different sides to his character, to his personality, his person. I mean, you know what I mean? And a lot of people don't know him the way we know him. That he's allowing us to get to know him. Because I'll tell you in a minute, y'all ain't don't want to be in front. If the Most High ain't going, I ain't going. Y'all can have it. You can stand out in front. You can be in front of the TV cameras. You can do all that. I don't care nothing about none of that. I want him to be there. Because if he's not there, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I can't imagine what he felt when we all decided just to say we were sorry. And you know he wanted to hear it because he shut down. It was a no-fly zone, completely silent. You know he had to hear it. The words that came out of our mouth, he wanted to hear it. So all the ones that felt like it wasn't necessary, you weren't meant to be there. And we're not mad. We still love you. You still family, but you just wasn't meant to be there to do that. And I'm not talking about the ones who couldn't make it. I'm talking about the ones who said it wasn't necessary to make it. You just weren't supposed to do that. But we did it. And I mean, he's been coming through. I'm telling you. And you know, it ain't been what I thought it was, but guess what? He has truly been coming through and making a way out of no way. And angels protecting us and our children and our children's children. You know, I have no complaints. When you know, well, rich is good. I want to see what that's like. I want to be. I want to experience that. But guess what? Whichever way he chooses to do it, we're gonna keep moving. So yeah, I'm grateful today. You know that we have an opportunity to know him from a different perspective. He's allowed to, you know, the Bible class to go in the direction that it's going and to bring in the supernaturalness of it all. We ain't even scratched the surface. Because when I saw the parallel between the Egyptians killing off the Israelite baby and Yah killing off the grown Egyptian men, I was like, whoa. There's so many more parallels in there like that. We just been reading over them. Yeah, we've been reading over. But that's why I like to start from the beginning, you know, to go back into the garden, you know, and all of that good stuff. Because they, you know, it's so rich. You ain't going to never get the whole just of it. You're going to miss some parts. You know, and that's just who we are, where we are today. And we just got to be obedient and do what he tells us to do, because that's where the blessing lies, that in being obedient. You know, because obedience is better than sacrifice. It is. You know, so I encourage everyone. And, you know, it doesn't mean we can't still have fun. I still like to have fun and do the things I like to do. You know, but I'm not breaking y'all's law. You know, some people want to be daredevils. They want to be bad when they want to be bad, and they want to break the law when they want to and then jump back. I'm not living like that. We too close. We are too close now. Like I said, there's some doors opening right now. We can't even share it with you, but when we're allowed to, we will. But our praises to the Most High. We thank him for being his people. You know, and I thank you all that you're personable and approachable enough where the other nations feel comfortable around you. You know, we had all kinds of people sitting in the midst of us. People from France, you know, Gentile people set up in the midst of us. They all kind of people sat with us because they knew the spirit there was Yah. It was love. It was the way it's supposed to be. But when you see an Israelite mad and they grumbling all the time, they haven't fully grasped the scope of this thing. They haven't accepted the part that we played. When you hear revenge on their lips all the time, they haven't really grown to the point that they need to grow. Because you can't be mad at nobody but you. And they'll tell you in a minute. That's how the Jehovah's Witness lady told me, well, y'all messed up with your God. She tried to convince me that I wasn't saying what I was saying and that what I was saying was wrong. But when she knew she couldn't do that, then she came back and said, well, y'all the one messed up. So they know. They know. And I said to her, sis, you're going to be mad when you figure out that you've been walking in the hot sun and in the snow for nothing. For real. When he opened up your eyes, you're going to be mad. But then I thought about the scripture that says that he spoke in parable so that they wouldn't understand what he was saying, so that that they wouldn't repent and he wouldn't have to forgive them. So it's some people that ain't going to make it no way, and they Israel, and they ain't going to make it. Because they're not going to repent. Those are the people that are not going to repent. They're not. You know. But just count yourself worthy that he said he thought enough of you to be able to give you the opportunity to apologize. Because he could have wiped us out. We could be dead already. You know. We could be. But we have to just thank you for who we are and what we're doing. And move forward. And don't knock nobody else for what they're doing. Go do what you do. I've heard so many, we ain't supposed to wear VGs. We're not supposed to wear fringes. What difference do it make? If we feel like we're supposed to wear them, then we wear them. If you don't want to wear them, then don't wear them. But there's not going to be one person that's going to change the whole of Israel as to how we do things and how we read things. Not. Yeah. So we are there at that point now. Anybody else have any comments, anything you want to share? You know, I mean, you know, when we talked about the class, I think class was good yesterday. We needed to go through that. You need, and I do that every once in a while to let people know how important Israel is to him, you know, and how much we mean to him in spite of where he put us. He said it pleased him for us to be treated the way we was treated. It pleased him. And then we want to get mad at the other nations. We can't get mad at them. We have no business here in the first place. We had no business here. And now we're being made to serve other gods, and they still arguing with you. So I don't force the issue anymore. I try to be as hospitable as I can when I'm around my family. I allow people to be who they are. I don't shove this down nobody's throat. I do what my uncle told me to do. I live it. And as we live it, our children see it. And they start living it. You know, my youngest son now, he's all in it. He, and I was like, whoa. You know, I'm like, okay. You know, he's really starting to research and study. You know, some of our kids is telling their bosses, I can't work on the Sabbath. I'm off on the Sabbath day. You know what I'm saying? I will work on the Sabbath. I said, at least that's a start. And so all you got to do is live it. We don't shove it down. Nobody's throat. We just live it. My son said, in my house, we don't buy pork. I don't eat pork. We don't do none of that. We getting ourselves prepared for the dietary law. We don't eat that stuff. I never said anything. I said, okay. Wow. So we just live it in front of them. And guess what? And be nice. And be loving, and people will gravitate to it. The reason why people have been gravitated to it in the past is because it was too brutal, and it was too aggressive. And everybody's like, I'm not getting ready to bring my daughters and over into this. I ain't getting ready to let my son be exposed to that. But we out there now, and people see something different. They see something different. I told you the Caucasian gentleman that was talking to me with his wife, he said, give me one of your cards. He said, because y'all ain't like the other folks. I said, well, they still family, too. That's our family. He said, and he started laughing. He said, I understand me. He said, but that y'all don't carry on like they do. I'm going to get this to my daughter. But I made sure that he knew they still family, though. We still love our family. And some of them is a little aggressive, and their approach is a little different. And we still love them. We're not going to bash them in front of you, but we do things the way we do things. Because we'll talk about family among strangers. We just don't do that. You know, so this is where it starts at. It starts right here. You know, and evidently, y'all's pleased because, like I said, he's opening up doors. And we walking through them doors. You better bet you we getting ready to walk through it. And we're gonna represent, and we're gonna handle ourselves appropriately and offer our services to be used in whatever capacity we can. And I really do believe it's because of the prayer. Brother Yerah Salaam, you think it's because of the prayer? I really do believe it's because of the prayer.
Yes, ma'am, I do. I really do feel it's because of the prayer. You know. We actually, you know, if you really think about that prayer, we went, none of us knew what to expect. We even had people thinking that something was going to happen to us and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. you had to step out and be bold enough to say, hey, you know, I'm going anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying, because there were some people, like you said, that couldn't come, but there was also mm-hmm. people that wouldn't come.
That's right.
Big difference. Mm-hmm. Wasn't in their heart, wasn't in their mind. But now that we've done that, yeah, I feel it different. I feel that he's opening up stuff for us and letting us see things a little bit more. That's why
mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that nothing there, so we can learn. And we're learning
mm-hmm.
right now, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How long have we been removed from our culture? How long?
Have we been removed from what?
From our culture.
Woo, over thousands of years at least. at least 1,500, exactly. Almost 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of catching up to do.
And you better believe that. I agree. You know, like I said, I agree. I mean,
yeah, this has been a beautiful experience, and it was just by chance that we found your radio show, this radio show, over all the other stuff that we had listened to. Just by chance,
yep.
He puts together who he will.
Yes, he does. And somebody got to represent. Somebody got to represent in the earth. He's always had somebody representing. And I
yeah,
know, I'll always, and I go. Say that
no.
again.
It ain't going to be the people that think they're going to represent.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to pick and choose who he will.
That's true.
Okay. I didn't even know about all that representation. All I want, Sister Diane, I just want to make it.
Me too. Me as well. Me too. Now, I have to ask Sister Leona, how do you pronounce your Hebrew name for everybody now? How do you pronounce it?
Yah Asante Yah.
Yah Asante Yah. That's really pretty. Yah Asante Yah. Yah Asante Yah. Okay, so
yeah.
Let me say this for you all who we are supposed to be meeting with this evening, Sister Yah Asante Yah. I'm going to meet with you for just a few minutes, and then it won't be long, but I just want to share some things with you, you know, after the radio show, if you have a few minutes, and then we're going to start setting up appointments to be able to meet. Brother Yerushalayim, I really do need to talk to you. If you could call me, if you have time, around 5:15, 5:30. 5:30 would probably be better.
Yes,
is that a good time for you?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Okay, great. And we'll just talk real quick. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we got to get ready, and we got to get ready for the overflow because, like TDJ said, I've never expected it. He said, I thought maybe because he came from a storefront church. He said, I thought maybe 100, maybe 200, 300 people. He said thousands of people walked through the door. Thousands. You know, and you have to be ready for the overflow. And I've never forgot that. Because when it comes time for the elevation, you have to be prepared for it. Because there's many people that come up to me and say, I've been listening for a long time. I haven't said anything, but I've been listening for a long time. One of the ladies came to the prayer, the 2019. I've just been listening, but I had to be there. I had to come. And it's like, wow. You know, all praises to the Most High, yeah. You don't know who listens. You just have no idea who listens. You know, like I said, I am really, I'm proud of everybody. I'm honored. I'm humbled, you know, that we have come together as a group, a team, you know, and we've made the teamwork make the dream work, and we've been doing it. You know, with our little twos and fews, we put our little money together when the time comes, and it works. We put our prayers together when the time comes, and it works. We put our heart together and at the same time, and it works. That the world can feel it. You know. And Sister Leona, I haven't forgot about the young man that is in court or whatever. We're going to pray, you know, because the Most High can change that around. He changes things. He's prayer changes things. You know, so we just trust. We trust. Anybody have anything to say before we dismiss? Because sometimes, you know, hold on. Oh, I got people that's going to push one. Hold on. Area code 919, your mic is open. You're on the air.
I just wanted to say one comment about the class yesterday. I really appreciated the class yesterday. And the scriptures that you pulled together, they've always been meaningful to me, but I had not yet taken the time to go back and, you know, get the verse and chapter. And so they were very, very meaningful. I needed to hear that. I'm so glad that through the Spirit you were led to go over and review those scriptures. And I just wanted to read one other one, if I might, just one verse of another one that
yes,
I think
ma'am.
Is really meaningful. Okay, so it's Leviticus 26:44. Mm-hmm. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Howah, their Elohim. And that was important because of the replacement theology that you hear so much in Christianity. Oh, Israel's been replaced. I mean, this is clearly mm-hmm. saying he will never cast us away.
Never cast
And the other thing, after the class, it really struck me that Christianity is really the religion of the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always mm-hmm. known that, you know, it wasn't ours. It was given to us that, you know, we're Shem, we're not him. But to put it together, something about after that class, I realized that not only is it something that was given to us, it's really the religious practices of the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
not ours.
Nope, not ours. No.
They've made it so that they fit in the story. And so mm-hmm. they've made it their religion with them in the story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's how you're going to be made to serve other gods of wood and stone. That's how.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been hijacked. But, it's, you know, it has to be. It has to be, too. Because it all has a part to play.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It all has
a
part
to play. That was all. Thank you.
All praise
thank you.
To the Most High, yeah. Oh, my pleasure. Brother Donia, do you have something you'd like to say? You there? We can't hear you. Brother Donia?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute, man. You know, I just want to say shalom to everybody, the family, and et cetera. But the time period, they got a time period that they say is 5780. You understand? And I don't know whether it's the time period that they came out of, that from Moses' time period, you know, till this day is 5780. But, mm-hmm. you know, we can always go back and kind of calculate, you understand, when our Lord, when we came out of the last time that we had gotten out of Jerusalem, you understand, till this day, you understand, we can always kind of try to calculate that.
Mhm. Mhm. Oh, absolutely, no question. We definitely can. But I know it's been a long time. It's been a long time since we've been our own land. We've had our own culture. We had our own everything. It's been a long time. It has. It really has. But we're on our way back to restoring at least some of it now, you know, and hopefully the rest of it will be restored as we move forward. And I hope that we all get a chance to be a part of that. I really do. I pray that every day. If something happened to me, y'all, and I lose my mind, or God forbid anything happened, then you better come get me and make sure I'm on that boat. Don't leave me in the hands of my children. Somebody be designated to come get me. I ain't playing. I'm serious. I'm not playing. Somebody come get me. Don't leave me in the hands of my children. I want to be on that boat. For real.
I know that.
And you're like, where's Diana in the nursing home? Nuh-uh, you better not leave me in there. You better come get me. If you got to tell them I'm going out for the day and don't bring me back. I'm like Joseph. Don't leave my bones over
here. I know that, right.
No, don't take me with you. Mm-mm. You know, we got to say those kind of things and be in contact with each other so we know where everybody is. Now, your kids even threw you off somewhere in the home somewhere and the boat be sailing down the river. Like, oh, Lord. You know? Mm-mm. So we're going to work on that, too, so everybody can have a designated survivor. If anything happens, you make sure I get on that boat for real.
I know that's right.
Seriously. You know what I'm saying, Brother Donnie? You know how it is.
Look here, I'm getting older. You understand? I'm asking Almighty to work with me. You understand? He know my condition. You understand? I'm older. You understand? So he's going to have to make a way for me. And I know that he will, Sister Yaina. I really do.
Yes, he will.
He's been taking care of me for a long time, even when I didn't know myself.
Yeah.
You know, one other thing here, too, is that the time that the temple fell the last time, mm-hmm. it was millions of people left from that region and went down into Africa. Now, if we can figure out the time period that happened when he came out of, when we came out of, I want to say it's been about 2,000 years, I would like to say.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Mm-hmm. Long time. But we on our way back to bring it back. So, guess what, you guys? It's time for us to go. I'm off tomorrow, so if anybody want to contact me, you know how to do that. You can do it through email if you need to talk, if you off. I'm off tomorrow. I'm going to be working on the things of the Nation of Yehuda and making sure we have all this thing. I'm going to be working on the website and undoing some things and disconnecting some things and bringing some things back together. So, you know, if you guys want to call me or whatever, we can definitely do that. And then we'll go from there. Sister Yasetia, I'm definitely will be we can call into the conference call. If you don't mind, at about about 6 o'clock, we'll have our meeting at 6 real quick. It's going to be real quick, like maybe 10, 15 minutes at top. And then I'm going to set some appointments up and stuff if that's good for you.
It is.
Okay, great. All right, everybody. Well, look, this is the end of our radio show. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Like I said, it's time to roll up our sleeves now and go to work. For you all who are interested in doing something and bringing your talents to the Nation of Yehuda, we have plenty of things to do. We need your help. Email us at the Yehuda Project. Even if you say, I don't know what I can do, but I'll help. You know, Masonic and non-Masonic alike, because somebody's got to be gathering the non-Masonic together so we can get ready to go. Don't think that this is just for Masonic, because we're a nation. We came as a nation and we leave as a nation. And belief is not what binds us, it's bloodline. So we have to understand we're the descendants of those 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your week and enjoy the rest of your day. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.